doctor, babysitting, working in the college bookstore a couple of semesters, and singing with the band. She wasn't likely to form a band and was beyond filling shampoo bottles. So retail, maybe. Or maybe she could look into opening a daycare. But the Ridge had one, and those who had family usually had a mother or cousin or sister who'd watch their kids when they worked. Retail, she thought again. Retail or waitressing? There could be opportunities there, especially since summer was coming, and summer brought more tourists, more hikers, more families who rented cabins or stayed at the hotel. The Artful Ridge, local artists mostly, mountain treasures, gifts and whatnots. The Hasty Market, selling staples and snacks for anyone who didn't want to go the half mile to Haggerty Food Market. There was the pharmacy, the ice cream shop, the bar and grill, the pizzeria, Al's Liquors. Farther down and around the corner sat Shady's Bar, which was just that. And her mama would have a heart attack if she took a job there. Considering her options, she stopped in the salon first so her granny could show off Callie. I'm going to do your hair, Viola told Callie. Crystal, get me one of those booster seats, would you? You can sit right here at Granny's station, Callie Rose. I used to do your gamma's hair and your mama's. Now I get to do yours.
Callie's hair.
Callie lifted her arms to Viola, then brushed at Viola's hair.
Granny's hair.
About the same, isn't it? Though mine takes some doing these days.
Some doing,
Callie echoed, and made Viola laugh.
Have a seat there, Shelby. Crystal doesn't have another head for a half hour. Look at this beautiful hair.
Callie, who could sometimes be fussy and impatient at hair-fixing time, sat happily staring at herself in the mirror.
I wanna be a princess, Granny.
You are a princess, but we'll give you hair worthy of your rank.
She brushed through the curls, grabbed one of the big silver clips to hold some back, and began to do a fancy French braid on the side.
I heard Bonnie Jo Farnsworth, that's a cousin of Gilly's sister's husband, is getting a divorce from her husband. That's Les Wickett, Shelby, who ran with Forrest some when they were boys. They haven't been married 2 years and have a baby not 6 months old. Had a big wedding at the hotel, cost her daddy two arms and his left leg.
I remember Les a little. I'm sorry to hear he's having troubles.
I heard trouble's been brewing since before they cut the wedding cake.
Crystal, who owned a tumbling mane of streaky blonde hair, gave a knowing wiggle of her eyebrows.
But I probably shouldn't say.
Of course you should say.
Viola tied off the first braid, started on the second.
And in considerable detail.
Well, maybe you didn't know that Bonnie Jo used to go around with Boyd Cattery.
Loretta Cattery's middle boy. Those Cattery boys are rough customers. Forrest had a set-to with Arlo, the youngest of them, not long ago when Arlo got skunk drunk down to Shady's and started a fight over a pool game. Arlo took a swing at Forrest when Forrest went in to break it up. You know Arlo, Shelby. Bony boy with straw-colored hair and a bad attitude. Drove a motorcycle and tried to catch your eye.
I remember Arlo. He got suspended and sent off a while for beating up on a boy half his size outside of school.
Boyd's considerably worse, let me tell you.
As she talked, Crystal readied her station for the next customer.
And he and Bonnie Jo were always sneaking off, then they broke up when he got arrested for...
She glanced at Callie, who was too busy admiring herself in the mirror to pay attention.
For, having certain illegal substances in his possession? Then Bonnie Jo took up with Les, and before you can click your heels, they're planning a wedding. You ask me, her daddy was so relieved she was marrying a nice boy and done with Boyd, he'd have paid double what that wedding cost. But Boyd got released right before the wedding, and there's been some talk down in the holler he and Bonnie Jo have... Well, taken up again, and now the two of them are off down to Florida, where he has cousins. She left that baby behind like it was leftover pizza or something. And it said the cousins make up some of the substances he was put away for.
It was nearly as good as a massage and facial, just sitting there for 20 minutes, watching her granny create a princess do for her girl while Callie preened in the mirror, and listening to gossip that wasn't about her. Viola looped the braids into a crown, gathered the curls into a tail she fixed with a rose-trimmed band.
Pretty. I'm pretty, Granny.
Yes, you are.
Viola bent down so their faces reflected together.
A girl should know when she's pretty. But there's a couple things I can think of right off more important.
What's more?
Being smart. Are you smart, Callie Rose?
Mama says.
And she knows. Then there's being kind. If you can be pretty and smart and kind, well, that's what makes a real princess.
She kissed Callie's cheek, lifted her down.
If I didn't have somebody coming in, I'd take you two girls out to lunch.
Next time we'll plan it. Next time we'll take you out to lunch. Shelby settled Callie in her stroller. Crystal, I'm thinking I should find some work. Do you know anybody who's hiring?
Oh, let's see now. Spring and summer, they hire on extra a lot of places. I didn't think you'd be after work, Shelby, not with the money you'd have from...
She slapped a hand over her mouth, looked at Callie in distress.
I'm awful sorry. I don't know why my mouth just runs out without being hitched up to my brain.
It's all right. I just want to keep busy. You know how it is.
I know how it is to need to pay the bills, but if you want busy work, maybe over at the Artful Ridge. It's got some class, and they do good business, especially once the tourists start coming in. Might be they could use another hostess at the big restaurant. They want good lookers there. Oh, and Rendezvous Gardens, you know, the landscape place. They always need help this time of year. That could be fun if you like plants and such.
Thanks. I'll think about it. We've got to get to the food market. I'm making dinner for Mama and Daddy tonight.
Granny, you and Grandpa should come. I'd love to make dinner for you.
I'd love to have you make dinner for me. I'll tell Jackson.
It's at 6, but you could come a little early because I have to leave by about 7:20 and meet Emma Kate.
Have you met Emma Kate's boyfriend?
Crystal asked.
Not yet.
She hooked a good one. Now the other, Griffin?
She patted a hand to her heart.
If I wasn't engaged to be married for the second time in my life, I'd head straight in that direction. He's got a swagger to him. I just love a man who's got a swagger to him.
There's your 11:30 just come in, Crystal.
I'll bring her right back. It was nice talking to you, Shelby.
She gave Shelby a good hard squeeze.
It's really good to have you home.
It's good to be home.
Her first husband had a swagger to him, Viola said under her breath. And he swaggered off with anything female he could talk into it.
I hope she does better this time.
I like this one. No swagger, but a steady way about him, which she needs to balance her out. I love that girl like I love raspberry sherbet, but she needs that balance.
What's for dinner?
I'm going to surprise you, and I'd better get to the market or we'll be ordering from the pizzeria.
She ran into Chelsea and her mother in the food market, which added a half hour onto her time, and produced a deal to meet at the town park the next day so the girls could play together. Now that she was cooking a meal for 6, she fiddled with the menu as she shopped. She made a good roast chicken with garlic and sage and rosemary, and she could make some red potatoes in that zingy dressing she cut out of a magazine, the carrots and butter and thyme Callie liked so much, and some peas. And she'd make biscuits. Richard hadn't cared for her biscuits, called them hick bread, she remembered. Well, the hell with him.
Maybe she'd make some appetizers, really do it up, and profiteroles for dessert.
The cook they'd had 3 times a week in Atlanta had shown her how to make them. She loaded up ingredients, bribed Callie with animal crackers, and tried not to swallow out loud when she checked out. For family, she reminded herself as she counted out the money. Family was putting a roof over her head and her daughter's. She could and would afford to pay for a good family dinner. It wasn't until she wheeled the cart and stroller outside that she remembered she'd walked. Oh, for God's sake, how stupid am I? 3 bags of groceries, a stroller, and 1.5 mile walk. Muttering to herself, she crammed 2 bags in the back of the stroller, slung the big Cali bag over one shoulder, and hefted the last grocery bag. She switched arms at the half-mile mark, seriously considered calling her mother or poking into the sheriff's office to see if Forrest was there and could give her a ride.
We'll make it. We'll make it fine.
She thought back to when she'd run the mile into town and back again as a child. Up and down those hills, around those curves. Well, now she had a child, and 3 bags of groceries, and she might be working up a blister on her heel. She made it to the fork, arms aching, and stopped to gather herself for the last leg. The fix-it guy's truck pulled up beside her. Griff leaned out the window.
Hey, did your car break down?
Griff, he added in case she'd forgotten.
Griffin Lott.
I remember. No, my car didn't break down. I didn't take the damn car because I wasn't intending to buy so many groceries.
Damn car,
Callie said to Fifi and had Shelby sighing.
Okay. Want a ride home?
More at this moment than I want a long and happy life. But
I get you only met me yesterday, but Emma Kate's known me for a couple years. I'd be in jail if I were an axe murderer. Hey, cutie, is your name Callie?
Callie.
The little girl angled her head, an accomplished flirt, and fluffed at her new hairdo.
I'm pretty.
As pretty as they come. Look, I can't leave you by the side of the road with the pretty girl and 3 bags of groceries.
I was going to say, I want a ride, but you don't have a car seat.
Oh, right.
He shoved a hand at his hair.
We'll break the law, but it's less than 1 mile, and I'll drive slow. I'll pull over any time another car's coming, either direction.
Her heel burned, her arms ached, and her legs felt like rubber stretched too hard and long. I think driving slow is going to be enough.
Hold on. Let me help you.
That made the second person who wasn't family in the last little while who'd offered to help her. It was hard to remember how long before that anyone had. He got out of the truck, took the bag from her. Feeling came back into her arm in pins and needles.
Thank you.
No problem.
He stowed the groceries while she lifted Callie out.
You sit right there, Shelby told Callie. Sit still while I fold up the stroller.
How does it... Oh, I get it.
Griff folded the stroller as if he'd been doing so for years. She turned back to Callie as he stowed it and saw her daughter had opened a takeout bag sitting on the seat beside her. She was now eating French fries.
Callie, those aren't yours.
I'm hungry, Mama.
It's okay.
Laughing, Griff got in the truck.
I wouldn't trust anybody who could resist fries. I had to pick up some stuff in town. Grab lunch for me and Matt while I was at it. She can have some fries.
It's past her lunchtime. I didn't expect to be gone so long.
Didn't you grow up here?
She took a deep breath as he drove, true to his word, at about 20 miles an hour.
I should have known better.
Now sitting on her lap, Callie held out a fry to Griff.
Thanks. You look like your mother.
Mama's hair.
Yours is really pretty. Have you been to Ms. Vi's?
That's Granny, Callie. Ms. Vi's Granny.
Granny did my hair like a princess. I'm pretty. and smart and kind.
I can see that. You're the first princess I've had in my truck, so this is a pretty big deal for me. Who's your friend?
This is Fifi. She likes French fries.
I would hope so.
He eased into the driveway.
Phew.
He took a mock swipe at his forehead.
Made it. You get the princess in her carriage. I'll get the groceries.
Oh, that's all right. I can...
haul in 3 bags of groceries, a kid, a stroller, and whatever's in that suitcase you've got there? Sure you can. But I'll get the groceries.
You carry me!
Callie shoved out of Shelby's arms, threw herself at Griff. Callie, don't...
I've got my orders.
He climbed out, crouched down, tapped his back.
Okay, princess. Climb aboard.
Callie said,
"Whee!"
and hooked herself on for a piggyback, while Shelby scrambled out the other door to try to heft whatever was left. He beat her to it, pulled out 2 grocery bags and with 1 in each arm, her daughter bouncing gleefully on his back, headed to the front door.
Is it locked?
I don't think so. Mama may have... She trailed off as he was already going inside, Callie clinging to his neck and chattering in his ear like he was her new best friend. Flustered, Shelby pulled out the stroller, got the last bag, swung her Callie bag on her shoulder. She managed to get it all in the house, left the stroller by the door to deal with later. He'd set the bags on the island. Before she could speak, he stopped her heart by swinging Callie off his back, dangling her upside down while she squealed in insane delight, then tossed her up in the air, catching her neatly, and settled her on his hip.
I love you,
Callie said, and kissed him enthusiastically on the mouth.
Is that all it takes?
Grinning, he gave her hair a tug.
Obviously, I've been going about my conquests the wrong way for a lot of years.
You stay and play with me.
Would if I could, but I've got to get back to work.
Callie took a hank of his hair, obviously finding it to her liking, and wound it around her finger.
You come back and play with me.
Sure, sometime.
He looked over at Shelby, smiled, and since she was staring, she saw he had eyes as green and clever as a cat's.
You've got a keeper here.
She is, thank you. Do you have children?
Me? No.
He set Callie down, gave her a friendly pat on the butt.
Gotta go, little Red.
She wrapped her arms around his legs in a hug.
Bye, mister.
Griff. Just Griff.
Griff.
Griff, Shelby corrected automatically.
Grr,
Callie said and giggled.
Griff's gotta go,
he said, glanced back at Shelby.
You set?
Yes. Yes, thank you so much.
No problem.
He started out.
Love this kitchen,
he added, and strode to the door and out. He did have a swagger about him, before she could think of anything else.
Griff,
Callie told Fifi.
He's pretty, Mama, and he smells good. He's going to come back and play with me. I'm hungry, Mama.
What? Oh, of course you are. Giving herself a shake, Shelby got back to reality. 8. By the time her mother got home, Shelby had the chicken in the oven, the potatoes and carrots scrubbed, and the dining room table, used only for important meals, set with the good dishes. Not the best dishes, which were her father's grandmother's, and worth more in sentiment than money, but the company dishes with the roses around the rims. She'd added linen napkins, folding them into fussy standing fans, rearranged candles and flowers into a pretty centerpiece, and was finishing the last of the pastries for the profiteroles.
Oh my goodness, Shelby! The table looks just beautiful, like for a high-class dinner party.
We are high-class.
We're sure going to eat like we are, and it smells wonderful in here. You always were one to know just how things should go together to look pretty.
It's fun fussing a little.
I hope it's all right I asked Granny and Grandpa to come. You know it is. Mama told me when I stopped into Vi's after my garden club meeting, and after Susanna and I did a little shopping. I got Callie the cutest outfits for spring. I had the best time. She set three shopping bags on the counter, began to pull things out. I can't wait to see her wearing this. It's just precious, isn't it? The little skirt with the pink and white stripes and the frilly shirt. And these pink Mary Janes. Now, I checked her size before I left, so they should fit. But if they don't, we'll just take them back. Mama, she'll love those. She'll just go crazy for those shoes. And I got this cute shirt with princess on it. And the sweetest little white cardigan sweater with ribbon trim. She pulled more out as she talked. Where is she? Maybe she can try some on. She's napping. I'm sorry she's napping so late, but it all took me longer, and then I had to fix her lunch, and she was revved up, so I didn't get her down until almost 3. Oh, we won't worry about that. So I stopped into Vi's, and there was Maxine Pinkett. You remember she moved to Arkansas a few years ago, but she was back visiting and came into Vi's hoping I could give her a cut and color. I don't do hair anymore as a rule, but she's an old customer, and I know what she likes. Shelby had a misty memory of Mrs. Pinkett, so made assenting noises as she began to fill the pastries with cream. She told me that she was disappointed when Crystal told her I was off. Then I walked in, and she asked if I couldn't please see to her hair. She's not happy at all with the stylist she's tried in Little Rock, so I set her up. Turns out her daughter's husband may take a job in Ohio now, and this after she moved to Little Rock to be close by her daughter and 3 grandchildren. She's in a state, let me tell you. I know just how she feels, so I... Ada May shut her eyes, gave herself a shake. I can't keep my mouth shut with a stapler. You don't have to. You didn't get to make many memories with Callie for more than 3 years. And more, I see now, she didn't get to make them with you. That's on me, Mama. It's all over and done now, and we're making plenty of memories all around. What are you making there, little cream puffs? She's awake. Ada May looked toward the baby monitor on the counter. I'm going to take her new things up and we'll have some fun. You need help here, honey? I don't, Mama, thanks. I don't want you to do a thing but sit down to this meal. You go have fun with Callie. Oh, I hope the pink Mary Janes fit, 'cause they couldn't be cuter. She'd take pictures of Callie in the pink Mary Janes, Shelby thought. Callie might not remember them when she grew up, but she'd remember her grandmother loved her, enjoyed getting her pretty clothes. She'd remember her granny had fixed her hair like a princess. That's what counted. Like a good family dinner at the dining room table. That's what counted. She finished the pastries, basted the chicken, got the potatoes and carrots going. She needed to change, not only for dinner, but to go out and meet Emma Kate. With a glance at the timer, she ran upstairs, tiptoed from the landing to her room so she didn't distract Callie and her mother in their fashion show, and spent the next 15 minutes agonizing over what to wear. She'd once had 3, maybe even 4 times as many clothes, and had never agonized. Maybe, she thought, because it had stopped being important. It was the bar and grill, she reminded herself. People didn't dress up especially to go there. It was at least 3 giant steps up from Shady's, but about an equal amount down from the big restaurant at the hotel. She settled on black jeans, a simple white shirt. And she'd put the leather jacket she'd kept, one she just loved, over it. The pewter gray went well with her hair and wasn't as harsh as black. Since the evenings ran cool yet, she chose heeled half boots. Mindful of the meal, she slipped straight back down and into the kitchen, grabbed an apron this time to start on the biscuits. It was fun to fuss, she thought, and after hunting up a pretty platter for the chicken, stood trying to imagine if it would look better if she laid the potatoes and carrots around the chicken or if she put them in bowls. Forrest came in the back door.
What's all this?
He sniffed the air.
What is that?
What's wrong with it?
I didn't say anything was wrong.
It smells like I'm hungry.
You can stay for dinner if you want. Granny and Grandpa are coming. I'm cooking.
You're cooking?
That's right, Forrest Jackson Pomeroy, so take it or leave it.
Do you always get dressed up to cook dinner?
I'm not dressed up.
Hell,
am I too dressed up to go to bootleggers? His eyes narrowed.
Why?
Because, you idiot, I'm going to bootleggers and I don't want to dress wrong.
I meant, why are you going to the bar and grill when you're fixing dinner?
I'm going after dinner, if you need every detail of it. I'm meeting Emma Kate. His face cleared.
Oh.
Am I too dressed up or not?
You're okay.
He opened the top oven, peered in at the chicken.
That looks damn good.
It will be damn good. Now stay out of the way. I need to set out the appetizers.
Aren't we fancy?
He stepped around her, got himself a beer. I just want it to be nice. Mama's getting me massages, and Granny's fixing Callie's hair, and you saw how they fixed the rooms upstairs for us. I just want it to be nice. He gave her shoulder a rub.
It is nice. The table looks like a company meal.
It's good you're meeting Emma Kate. We'll see how good when I do. She's still awful mad at me.
Maybe you should fix her a chicken dinner.
It felt good to have her family around the table enjoying a meal she'd made, and made her realize it was the first time. There'd be a second time, she promised herself, and she'd make sure Clay and Gilly and little Jackson were around the table that next time. She knew she'd done well when her grandfather had seconds of everything, and Granny asked for the recipes. I'll write them out for you, Granny.
You'll want to do it twice.
Ada May got up to help clear.
That chicken put mine to shame.
You better have saved room for dessert.
We've got room, don't we, Callie?
Jack patted his belly, so Callie leaned back in her booster chair to pat hers. The best was watching eyes go big when she came in carrying the tower of profiteroles she'd made with their topping of melted chocolate.
That's as pretty as anything you'd see in a restaurant, her father told her. Is it as good as it looks?
You're going to find out. I need to go, so Mama, would you serve this up? I don't want to be late.
You don't go till you've put on some lipstick.
This was her grandmother's decree.
Something with a little pink in it. It's spring.
All right. Make Forrest help with the dishes.
I was going to,
he said immediately. He grabbed her hand when she bent over to kiss Callie.
It was a real good meal, Shelby.
Don't drink and drive.
You're the one with a beer on the table.
Callie, you be a good girl.
Gamma said I get a bath with bubbles.
Won't that be fun? I won't be late.
Oh, be late.
Ada May served up generous portions of pastry. Go have some fun.
I will.
Don't
scat.
All right. It felt odd going out at night on her own. And then add in the nerves, the worry that Emma Kate wouldn't forgive her. But she put on lipstick, added a little more blush for good measure, and drove to town hoping she'd find the right words, make the right penance to get her best friend back in her life. The streetlights gleamed, and she caught a few lights glimmering in the mountains. Shops shut down by 6, but she noted Pizzateria was doing good business, and a few people strolled along the sidewalk. She found the stingy parking lot beside the bar and grill already jammed, started hunting up a place on the street. Maybe she had to give herself a mental push to get out of the car, but she did it, and walked the half block down, opened the door, stepped into the noise. She didn't recall the place doing this level of business on weeknights, but then she hadn't reached legal drinking age when she left, so had spent more time with pizza or at the ice cream parlor. Still, most of the tables and booths were full, and the air smelled of beer and barbecue.
How are you doing?
A waitress, hostess, approached with an easy smile and dark eyes that scanned the crowded room, probably looking for a free table.
I can seat you at the bar if you're...
Shelby?
Shelby Ann Pomeroy!
Shelby found herself enveloped in a hug that smelled of peach blossoms. She drew Shelby back, a good-looking woman with skin like polished walnut and thickly lashed dark eyes.
You don't remember me.
I'm sorry, It clicked, stunning her.
Tansy? You do remember. Can't blame you for taking a few minutes. I've changed some.
Some? The Tansy Johnson she'd known had been gawky, gap-toothed, acne-prone, and bespectacled. This one was admirably curvy with a gorgeous smile, clear skin, and luminous eyes.
My skin cleared up, I filled out, got my teeth fixed, and wear contacts.
You look just fantastic.
It's nice to hear it. But then you and Emma Kate never made fun of me like some of the girls did. I'm sorry about your husband, Shelby, but I'm glad you're home.
Thanks. You work here now. It's busier than I remember and nicer.
That's good to hear, too, because I don't just work here. I'm the manager. And I happen to be married to the owner.
Wow. Things have changed. When did you get married?
A year ago in June. I'm going to tell you all about my Derek first chance, but Emma Kate's waiting for you.
She's already here?
I'll take you over. I got you a corner booth. Prime real estate, especially on Wingnut.
She hooked her arm through Shelby's.
You've got a little girl, don't you?
Callie. She's 3.
I'm going to have one.
Oh, that's great, Tansy. It called for another hug. Congratulations.
Just hit 4 weeks, and I know they always say wait until after the first trimester, but I can't wait. So I'm telling everybody, even complete strangers. Look who I found!
Emma Kate looked up from her phone.
You made it.
I did. I'm sorry if I'm late.
You're not. I forgot it was wing night, so I had Tansy save us a table and got here a little early.
Sit down.
Tansy waved toward the booth.
And you two do your catching up. What do you have, Shelby? First one's on the house.
I'm driving, so... Well, I ought to be able to handle one glass of wine.
We've got a nice selection by the glass.
Tansy rattled off several choices. The Pinot Noir sounds perfect.
I'll get that right out to you. You okay there, Emma Kate?
Emma Kate lifted her beer. I'm good, Tansy.
So good seeing you.
Tansy gave Shelby's shoulder a squeeze before she walked away. I didn't recognize her for a minute.
She grew up. She's about the happiest person I know, but then she always had a sunny nature.
Despite being bullied and picked on half the time, I remember in high school especially how Melody Bunker and Jolene Newton made Devlin her a mission.
Melody's as sour and snotty as she ever was. She was second runner-up in the Miss Tennessee pageant, something she tosses around like candy wrappers. You know she's never forgiven you for beating her out for homecoming queen.
God, I haven't thought about that in years.
Melody's existence is based on being the prettiest and most popular. She fell short, and Jolene hasn't evolved much either.
Emma Kate leaned back, settled into the corner of the booth, diagonal from Shelby.
She's engaged to the son of the hotel's owners and likes to drive around town in the fancy car her daddy bought her.
A waitress brought over Shelby's wine.
Tansy says enjoy and just let me know if you want anything else.
Thank you. I don't care about Melody or Jolene. Shelby continued, while she turned the wine glass around and around in small circles with her fingers. I want to hear about you. You got your nursing degree just like you said you would. Did you like Baltimore?
I liked it well enough. I made some friends, had good work, met Matt.
It's serious, you and Matt?
Serious enough I dealt with my mama's shock and horror when I told her we were moving in together. She still gives me pushes toward marriage and babies.
Don't you want that?
I'm not in a rush about it like you were.
Shelby accepted the hit, took a sip of wine. You like working at the clinic?
I'd have to be stupid not to like working for Doc Pomeroy. Your dad is a good man, a fine doctor.
After another sip of her beer, Emma Kate straightened a couple of inches.
What did you mean, you didn't have the money to come back? The word I got was you were rolling in it.
Richard handled the money. As I wasn't working.
Didn't you want to work?
I had Callie to tend to, and the house. And I'm not qualified for any serious work. I didn't finish college or...
What about singing?
It flustered her not to finish a sentence. There'd been a time when she and Emma Kate could finish each other's, but this was different. That was just a childish fantasy. It wasn't like I had any real skills or experience, and I had a child. And he married me, provided for me and Callie, gave us a good home. Emma Kate sat back again.
And that's all you wanted? To be provided for?
With Callie, and having no skills or the education,
did he tell you that you were stupid? You want my forgiveness, Shelby?
Emma Kate said when Shelby went silent.
You tell me the truth. You look me in the eye, and you tell me the truth.
All the time, one way or the other. How was he wrong? I didn't know how to do anything.
That's a big bucket of bullshit.
With her eyes fired up, Emma Kate set the beer down, shoved it aside, and leaned across the table.
You didn't just sing in that band. You did most of the managing and marketing. You figured out how to do that. They made you assistant manager at the college bookstore after a month, so you knew how to do that. You started writing songs, and they were good, Shelby, damn it, so you knew how to do that. You redecorated my bedroom when we were 16, and not only did it look beautiful, but you figured out how to get around Mama on it. Don't sit there and say you didn't know how to do anything. That's him talking. Speak for yourself.
The words, fast as machine gun fire, left Shelby breathless. None of those things were practical or realistic. Emma Kate, things change when you have a child depending on you. I was a housewife and a stay-at-home mother. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's not a thing wrong with that if it makes you happy, if it's appreciated. It doesn't sound like it was appreciated, and when you talk about it, you don't look happy.
She shook her head in denial. Being Callie's mama is the best thing in my life. It's the light in it. Richard worked so I could stay home with her. A lot of mothers who want to can't, so I should be grateful he provided for us.
There's that word again.
She felt sick inside, with a thin layer of shame coating it. Do we have to talk about this?
You want me to forgive you for running off, and that I could, but to forgive you for cutting me off, for staying away, for not being there for me when I most needed you? But you're skirting around the truth of it.
She was, because the center was so dark and sticky. The noise of voices and dishes that had seemed festive and fun when she'd come in now pounded against her head. Her throat felt so painfully dry she wished she'd asked for water, but she pushed the words out. I didn't have the money, because if I managed to tuck $1,000 away, he'd find it, and he'd take it. To invest, he'd say, because I didn't have a head for money. I had charge accounts, didn't I, if I wanted to buy clothes or some other toy or outfit to spoil Callie with, so I didn't need cash money. And what was I complaining about? I had someone to clean the place, someone to help with Callie, someone to cook because I didn't know anything but country cooking. I should be grateful. And I couldn't take off to Tennessee every time somebody died or got married or had a birthday. He needed his wife home.
He cut you off from your family, your friends. He whittled your world right down, didn't he? And hammered at you to be grateful for it.
He had. Of course he had. She hadn't seen it happening because it was so gradual until it was just her life. Sometimes I thought he hated me, but he didn't. He didn't feel that much for me. The first few months, even the first year, it was exciting and full, and he made me feel so special. I let him run everything. I was along for the ride, and I was carrying Callie and so happy about it. After she came, it was different. She took a breath, let herself settle into it. I thought it was different, she said slowly, because a baby changes things. He never paid much attention to her, and if I said anything about that, he'd get angry or act insulted. He was making sure she had a good life, wasn't he? I didn't want to travel so much with the baby, and he didn't push, so he was gone a lot. Sometimes he'd come back, and things would be good for a while, sometimes not so good. I never knew which it was going to be. I couldn't anticipate how it was going to be, so I tried to make sure everything was the way he liked it. I wanted my girl to have a peaceful, happy home. That was the most important thing. But you weren't happy. It was the life I'd made, Emma Kate, the choices I'd made. You chose to be abused. Her spine went stiff and hard. He never laid a hand on me or Callie in anger. You're smart enough to know that's not the only kind of abuse. Though her tone was brisk, no nonsense, she kept it low, under the other chatter. Even in a noisy restaurant, people often heard what you'd rather they didn't. He made you feel less, feel small and stupid and obliged. And he cut you off as much as he could from people who'd make you feel whole and special and really happy. And from what I'm hearing, he used Callie to keep you in line. Maybe he did. He's dead now, so it's over with. Would you have stayed with him? Just stayed living like that? Frowning, Shelby ran a finger around the rim of her glass. I thought about divorce. I'd be the first in our family, and that was a weight. But I thought about it, especially when he went on this last trip. It was supposed to be the three of us, a family vacation, a few days in the warm. But when Callie got sick and we couldn't go, he went anyway. He left us in the awful house the day after Christmas, where I didn't know a soul, and our girl was running a fever. Now she looked up, and some of the bottled rage gleamed out. He didn't even say goodbye to her, in case she was contagious, he said. I thought, he doesn't love her. It's okay if he doesn't love me, but he doesn't love our daughter, and she deserves better. She damn well deserves better. I thought about a divorce, but I didn't have money for a lawyer. And I thought he had so much money, he might go ahead and get the divorce. And what if he took Callie to spite me? I was thinking what to do, how I could do it when they came to the house, the police. They said there'd been an accident down in South Carolina, the boat. And Richard was missing. She picked up the wine now. He'd called in an SOS, said he was taking on water and the engine had gone out. They were talking to him, getting the, what do you call it, bearings or headings or whatever it is, sending out a rescue boat, but they had lost contact. They found the boat, all wrecked, and they searched for him for almost a week. They found some of his things, his windbreaker all torn up and one of his shoes. Just one. They found one of the life preservers. They said the boat capsized and he got washed away and likely drowned. So I didn't have to think about getting a divorce.
If you feel guilty about that, you are stupid.
I stopped being guilty about it.
There's a lot more, isn't there?
There's more, but can this be enough for now? Just enough for right now. Needing the contact, she reached over to grip Emma Kate's hand. I'm sorry for hurting you, and I'm sorry for not being strong enough to stand up for what I knew was right and best. God, I need some water. She glanced around for the waitress, then pushed out of the booth.
Wait!
When she rushed off, skirting around tables, trying to get through the crowd at the bar, Emma Kate got up to follow.
Are you sick?
The bathrooms are the other way.
No. I thought I saw somebody.
A lot of somebodies in here on wing night.
No. Somebody from Philadelphia. This private detective who came looking for Richard.
Private detective? That is more.
Couldn't have been him. No reason for it. It's just talking so much about Richard and thinking about all of it. I don't want to think about it any more right now. I want it off my mind for right now.
All right.
Can we just talk about something else? Even Melody and Jolene, I don't care anything else.
Bonnie Jo Farnsworth's getting a divorce. She married Les Wicked in a big fancy wedding not 2 years ago.
I heard about that. She's taken up with Boyd Cattery again, and they're in Florida, maybe cooking meth with his cousins.
So you're getting back in the loop. Let's go sit back down. I want another beer since I'm not driving.
Grateful, Shelby walked back with her. You live close?
We live in one of the apartments over Mountain Treasures, so I left my car parked and walked over. Let me find the waitress and... Oh, hell.
What?
Matt and Griff just came in. I got caught up. I was supposed to text Matt if I decided I didn't want him to come in and give me an excuse to ditch you. Since I didn't, we're going to have the boys around, so I won't be able to pry any more out of you once you relax again.
Is it enough that I've told you more than anyone but Granny?
It'll do for now.
Emma Kate smiled, waved her hand. Your Matt's awful cute.
He really is, and really good with his hands.
As Shelby choked out a laugh, Matt worked his way through. He hooked his really good hands under Emma Kate's elbows, lifted her off her feet, kissed her.
There's my girl.
He set her on her feet, turned to Shelby.
And you're Shelby.
It's nice to meet you. Really happy to meet you. You two weren't leaving, were you? Just heading back to the table,
Emma Kate told him.
I'm ready for another round.
This one's on Griff. Two black bears. I think I'm going for a bombardier. What'll you have, Shelby?
I was just after a glass of water.
I don't know if I can afford that, but I'll dig deep since it's you.
I'm driving, Shelby said as an explanation, as they maneuvered back to the booth.
We're not.
Matt said it cheerfully, draped an arm around Emma Kate's shoulders when they sat.
And we had a really good day. Put in a little OT at your mother's, hun, and the countertop's done.
How'd she like it?
She didn't like it. She loved it. Told you she would.
You have more faith and less experience with Mama's waffling ways.
I saw the kitchen the other day when some of the cabinets were in, Shelby told Matt. It already looked wonderful. You do nice work.
I like your friend. She has excellent taste and a very good eye. How do you like being back home?
It feels good and right. It's a big change for you from Baltimore.
I couldn't let this one get away.
That shows you have excellent taste and a very good eye.
We'll drink to that when Griff gets back with the beer. He said your daughter's cute as they come.
I think so.
When did Griff see Callie?
Emma Kate wondered. Oh, he gave me a ride home this afternoon when I found myself carting 3 grocery bags and Callie on foot. I had a brain freeze in the market. She's smitten with him?
Sounded like he was smitten with her. So,
smiling, Matt twirled a lock of Emma Kate's hair around his finger.
Now that we're such good friends, tell me something embarrassing about Emma Kate her mother wouldn't know about. I think I've worked most of the embarrassing stories out of Bitsy.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't tell you about the time she stole 2 cans of Budweiser out of her daddy's 6-pack, and we sneaked out of the house and drank them until she got sick in her mother's hydrangeas.
Sick? Hydrangea sick on 1 can of Bud?
We were 14. Emma Kate narrowed her eyes at Shelby, but there was a laugh in them.
And Shelby was sicker.
I was. I chugged it down as fast as I could because the taste was so hard and sour to me. Then I sicked it all back up again. I never did acquire a genuine taste for beer.
She doesn't like beer?
Griff set the pilsners in front of his friends, a glass of water with a slice of lime in front of Shelby, then slid in beside her with his own drink.
That may affect my plans for playing up to you, so I can enlist your help in running off with Viola.
He's not altogether kidding.
Matt lifted his glass.
Well, to friends, even when they don't have the good sense to drink beer.
Privet sat out in his car making notes. He'd parked across the street from where Shelby had left her minivan. It seemed to him the young widow was enjoying herself, having a glass of wine with an old friend. She wasn't quite as oblivious as he'd thought, as she'd nearly spotted him. Now it looked like she was having a double date in the local bar and grill. And still, she'd made no suspicious moves, was hardly tossing money around. Maybe she'd had nothing to do with it after all. Maybe she didn't know anything. Or maybe she was smart enough to sit tight in nowhere, Tennessee, until she thought the coast was clear. Considering what was at stake, he could give it a few more days. For his cut of nearly 30 million, he could spare the time. 9. She had fun. Grown-up fun. Normal night-out-with-people fun. She saw glimmers of her old friendship with Emma Kate break through, and it gave her hope that it would beam bright again. Seeing a man, and he seemed like a good man, besotted, that was the word that came to her mind, over her friend made her glow a little. She liked the way they looked together, easy and comfortable, but with some sparks over the familiarity. She'd seen her friend in love before, but with the teenage angst and drama and wonder that flamed like a comet over a night sky and was as quickly lost from view. What she saw here struck her as real and grounded, a good, sturdy sapling sinking roots. If the lost years came home to her not only in the way Emma Kate fit with Matt, but the connection between her and Griff, the obvious brotherhood between him and Matt, she could be grateful they opened that very tight unit to include her for an evening. Maybe she had to work some to stay relaxed sitting next to Griff, pretty much hip to hip in the little booth. It had been so long since she'd been in close proximity with a man, which explained the occasional belly flutters. But he made conversation easy. They all did. And God, it felt good not to talk about herself and her problems for an hour. She nursed her water to make it all last. I don't think things have changed so much in the Ridge that it could have been easy to start up a new business, especially since you're not local. Matt grinned at Shelby across the table.
You mean for us Yankees?
That would be a factor. But you do have the cutest accent, she said, and made him laugh.
It helps we're good, and I mean damn good. Then there's the Emma Kate factor.
He gave her shaggy hair a tug.
Some people were curious enough about the Yankee their own Emma Kate hooked up with to hire us for some odd jobs.
Painting,
Griff commented.
I thought we'd never stop painting. Then Emma Kate's father gave us a boost when a tree fell on the Hallister house. They called him in for the roof, and he nudged them to us for the rest. Their bad luck was our good.
That Hallister boys family? Shelby wondered. The one my cousin Lark's glued to?
That's the one,
Emma Kate confirmed.
And Granny gave them another lift.
Did she?
She hired Dewey Trake and his crew out of Maryville to do the relaxation room at the day spa and finish off the little patio. Some this and that,
Emma Kate continued. What about Mr. Curtis? He always did her work.
He retired about 2 years back, and even Granny couldn't coax him out to take this one on. So she hired Trake, but that didn't last 2 weeks.
Shoddy work.
Griff tipped back his beer.
Overpriced,
Matt added.
Granny thought so, and fired him.
I happened to be in there at the time.
Griff picked up the story, that easy rhythm.
Man, she lit into him. He'd had about 4 days on the job and was already running behind, making noises about overruns and delays. A lot of bullshit, basically. She handed him his ass and told him not to let the door hit it on the way out.
Sounds like Granny.
That's when I fell for her.
Griff let out a sigh, ending it on what Shelby would term a dreamy smile.
Something about a woman who can hand somebody their ass just does it for me. Anyway, not to let an opportunity slide.
Dewey Trake's bad luck being your good.
Exactly. I asked her if she'd let me take a look. Griff's our community liaison,
Matt said.
And Matt handles the accounting. It works. I took a look, asked to see the plans, told her I could have an estimate for her by the next morning, but ballparked it for her on the spot.
You were 1,100 off,
Matt reminded him.
Ballpark on the spot. She measured me up. You've probably been measured up by Ms. Vi.
Countless times, Shelby agreed.
Fell a little deeper, but restrained myself from asking her to run away with me. Timing's everything. She said something like, Boy, I want this done before Christmas and I want it done right. You get me that estimate written down proper first thing in the morning, and if I like it, be prepared to start work then and there.
I take it she liked it.
She did. And the rest is history,
Griff claimed.
Once you get the thumbs up around here from Viola Donahue, you're pretty well set.
It didn't hurt that Griff went out and snapped up that old house and its 4 overgrown trash-strewn acres,
Matt put in.
It was just crying. Buy me, Griff, come on. I've got tremendous potential.
It really does, Shelby agreed, and earned a quick flashing grin from Griff that had those butterflies swarming again.
You can't miss it if you know where to look. A lot of people thought, probably still think, I was crazy.
That probably gave you another nice hefty lift. We do prize our crazy in the South.
Why, you know that young lot boy from up to Baltimore?
Emma Kate began.
He may be addled, Shelby finished, but he's handy.
She saw Forrest wander in. Checking up on me, she thought. Some things didn't change.
The law's coming,
Griff commented as Forrest walked over to the booth.
Hey, Pomeroy, is this a raid? Off duty. I'm here for the beer and wild women.
This one's taken.
Matt squeezed a little closer to Emma Kate.
But you can slide in and get the beer.
Beer first.
He nodded toward Shelby's glass.
Is that water?
Yes, Daddy. Did you come from home? Is Callie doing all right?
Yes, Mama. She had a bubble bath of epic proportions, talked her granddaddy into 2 stories, and was sleeping with Fifi when I left. You want another round of water?
I should probably get back.
Relax. Another round?
He asked the rest of the table.
I'd take a Diet Coke this time, Forrest,
Emma Kate told him.
I've had my quota.
When her brother went off to order the drinks, Shelby looked around.
I know we didn't come in here all that much, but I don't remember it ever doing this kind of business.
You should see it every other Saturday night.
Since he had another coming, Matt drained his beer.
They have live entertainment. Griff and I are talking to Tansy, and she's talking to Derek, about adding on. Bigger stage, dance floor, second bar.
They could use it for private parties.
Now Griff scanned the room.
You keep it all in line with the original architecture. Make sure you've got good acoustics, good traffic flow. They'd have something. Drinks are coming.
Forrest slid in on the edge of the bench.
How's that kitchen going for Ms. Bitsy?
A couple more days, Matt said. We're out of there.
You know, my mama's talking about doing a big master bath off the bedroom. With a steam shower.
He narrowed his eyes at Griff.
You did know. Maybe we've had a few words about it. It's going to eat up Shelby's old room, and as she has Clay's now and Callie's got mine, that's all the bedrooms there are. Are you planning on moving back in with your parents? No, but you never know.
He shot Shelby a glance.
Do you? So if she gets her way, and she will, and my circumstances change, I'll be moving into your place.
I've got the room.
You still on for Sunday? You still buying the beer?
I am.
Then I'll be there.
Griff's taken out another wall or two at the old Triple Horn place,
Emma Kate told Shelby.
Do you think when I've lived there 20 years it'll be the old lot place?
No,
Forrest said flatly.
Hey, Lorna, how are you doing tonight?
The waitress served the drinks.
I'm doing just fine, but I'd be doing better if I was sitting down here having a drink with all these handsome men.
She set Shelby's water in front of her, bust the empties.
You watch out for this one, honey.
She gave Griff a poke on the shoulder.
A man this charming can talk a woman into most anything.
I'm safe enough. He's pining for my grandmother. Lorna set the tray of empties on her hip.
You Vi's grandbaby?
Of course you are.
You look just like her to the life. Well, she's sure on top of the world having you home, you and your little girl. I was in the salon today, and she showed me a picture she took with her phone of your baby after Vi did her hair up. She couldn't be prettier.
Thank you.
Just give a holler if you need something else. I heard you, Prentice,
she called over her shoulder when another table hailed her.
Keep an eye on him anyway,
she said to Shelby.
I don't remember her. Should I remember her?
You remember Miss Clyde?
I had her for English literature 12th grade.
So did we all. Lorna's her sister. She moved here from Nashville about 3 years ago. Her husband dropped stone dead from a heart attack at 50.
That's sad.
They didn't have any kids, so she packed up, came here to live with her sister.
Forrest took a sip of his beer.
Derek says Tansy's his right hand around this place, and Lorna's his left. Did you see Tansy?
I did. It took me more than a minute to recognize her. Matt said they're thinking about adding on here, putting in a dance floor and a stage and a second bar.
Now you've done it,
Emma Kate said as the talk turned to demolition and materials.
It'll be nothing but construction talk now.
She liked the construction talk and the extra half hour she took to sit with her brother.
This was nice, but I've got to get on.
I'll walk you out to your car,
Griff began as he slid over to let her out.
Don't be silly. I think my brother keeps the streets of the ridge safe enough. You can take my seat,
she told Forrest.
Spread out a little.
I'll do just that. Why don't you text me when you get home?
She started to laugh, saw he was serious.
How about I text you if I have any trouble getting home, all 1.5 miles of it? Night, everybody. Thanks for the drink, Griff.
It was water.
I'll see if I can do more damage next time.
She walked out happy. Happy enough to roll the windows down despite the chill, turn the radio up, and sing along. She didn't notice the car pulling out after her and following her that 1.5 miles. Inside the bar, Forrest switched seats.
Walk her to her car?
Griff studied his beer.
Your sister's hot. Don't make me punch you. You can punch me, but she'll still be hot.
Forrest decided to ignore him, shifted his focus to Emma Kate.
It looks like you two made things up.
We got a start on it.
How much did you get out of her?
Enough to be damn sure that dead husband of hers was a son of a bitch. You figured he was, Forrest.
Yeah, I figured he was.
Forrest's eyes chilled. His mouth thinned.
Couldn't do a goddamn thing about it.
What kind of a son of a bitch?
Griff demanded.
The kind that made her feel stupid and small and kept his money in a tight fist.
The angry heat she'd banked down flashed out now.
The kind who likely had affairs while she was home taking care of the baby. The baby I got the clear impression he didn't pay much mind to. And there's more to it. I know there's more. She didn't let it all out tonight.
Emma Kate took a long breath.
I swear, if he hadn't gotten himself killed, I'd be holding your coat while you kicked his ass, Forrest, or you'd be holding mine.
She should have done some ass-kicking herself. I bet nobody's ever made you feel stupid or small.
Griff shook his head. He thought of those sad eyes and the bright, flirtatious little girl. His anger went on simmer. It could boil up, long, slow, and rolling. If and when it boiled over, it scalded to the bone.
My sister was hooked up with a guy for a while. Passive-aggressive, manipulative fucker. He twisted her up pretty good, and he only had a few months to do it. No kid involved. People like that, they start off making you feel like you're the most amazing thing on the planet. You're perfect. They're lucky to have you in their life. Then they start chipping away a little at a time. Got on her to lose weight, and my sis is no pudge. She's not,
Forrest agreed.
I've met her. Your sister's hot. Well played. This jerk was all over Jolie. Why didn't she do something with her hair? If she couldn't afford a better salon since she's stuck working in some dead-end job, he'd pay for it, his treat.
Kick and kiss, Matt said. I remember that guy. When Jolie finally broke it off, Griff baited him into taking a swing.
I needed to get a punch in, and that way I could say he threw the first. It's still assault. Shut up, deputy. It was worth it. Shelby was always so... what's the word?
Forrest muttered.
Vibrant, Emma Kate supplied. She went after things. She wouldn't walk over somebody to get it, but she'd go head to head with you. And if you tried walking over her or somebody else, especially somebody else...
She paused to glance at Griff.
You got your ass handed to you.
She's still vibrant. You two don't see it, maybe, because you've known her all your lives. But I see it.
Emma Kate cocked her head at Griff.
Why, Griffin Lott. Shelby said her little girl was smitten with you. Are you smitten with the mama?
Her brother's sitting right here, and he's already threatened to punch me. She'd be your type,
Matt put in.
My type? Because you don't have a type. As long as she's female. Her brother's sitting right here,
Griff repeated, and applied himself to his beer. Shelby kept the playdate in the park and enjoyed it nearly as much as Callie. Best of all, she and Chelsea's mother made an arrangement. Tracy would watch the girls for a few hours while Shelby ran some errands the next day, and 2 days later, Shelby would do the same for her. Everybody won a little something. And maybe, she thought as she once again examined her wardrobe, she'd net herself at least a part-time job. She opted for a dress, simple lines in pale yellow for spring, and a good pair of nude pumps with a short white jacket to set it off. She pulled her hair back into a tail, fastened on earrings with little pearl drops. Costume, as she'd had them since college, but pretty and right for the outfit. With her mother back at work, she and Callie had the house to themselves, and she didn't have to explain she was gearing up for a job hunt. If she got lucky and landed one, she'd present it all as a fait accompli. If she got a job and sold the house, she'd do handsprings up and down High Street in front of God and everybody.
Mama's pretty.
Callie's prettier. Shelby glanced over where Callie sat on the bed, methodically stripping the clothes off two Barbie dolls. Baby, why are your Barbie dolls naked?
They need to change clothes for Chelsea's house. Chelsea has a kitty named Snow White. Can I have a kitty?
Now Shelby looked down at the old dog who snored at the foot of the bed. And how do you think Clancy would feel about that?
He could play with the kitty. My kitty's name's Fiona, like Shrek. Can I have a kitty, please, Mama? And a puppy? I want a puppy most.
I tell you what, when we get a house of our own, we'll see about getting a kitty.
And a puppy, too. The puppy's name is Donkey, like Shrek.
We'll see about that. Richard had had a no-pet policy. Well, when she had a house for Callie, they'd have a dog and a cat.
And a pony.
Now you're pushing it, Callie Rose. But she scooped her up, spun her around. Is Mama really pretty today? I want to look my best today.
Mama's beautiful.
She pressed her cheek to her daughter's. Callie, you're my best thing in the world.
Is it time to go to Chelsea's house?
Just about. You dress those dolls, then we can put them in the Callie bag and take them to Chelsea's house. Once she'd dropped Callie off, chatted with Tracy, she headed straight into town. She was capable, she told herself. She was smart enough to learn. She even knew a little about art, and she knew, or had known, some of the local artists and craftspeople. It made perfect sense to try to wrangle a part-time job at the Artful Ridge. After she parked, she sat for a moment, gathering herself. Don't act desperate. If worse comes to worst,